all. Today's reading really lays it out. Today's children's sermon tried to lay it out. There was some resistance to the all, apparently, but the days are coming when God will make a new covenant. It won't be like the one that the people broke. It will be one that's written on their hearts. No power struggles. Everyone will get it, and God will forgive. It's laid out right there. And this covenant, it's from the book of Jeremiah, and it's about the house of Israel and the house of Judah. They're both part of what we would call Israel, but they were separate from each other. They were angry with each other. They weren't getting along with one another. So it was written about them. But the covenant expressed things that still hold true for all of God's people today. Because God's vision isn't about who is the most worthy or who is the least deserving. It isn't about who has the most money. Mm-mm. Or who can barely scrape up enough change for bus fare. It's all about love, forgiveness, and folks paying attention to one another. It isn't about those who get it. It isn't only for those who are desperately seeking or at least desperately need forgiveness. It isn't only for those who are humble. It isn't only for those who do terrible things. This vision, this love, is for all those people and all the rest. Because God is for all. So a big question comes up. It's easy for me to say that, but how does that work with so many people living out so many different interpretations of what God wants? Scripture clearly tells us that, insert instructions to hate something or to rail against something right here. Or, it is clear that God cannot abide this watering down of Scripture and the acceptance of abominable behavior of, insert the group hated by others, as normal. I'm caricaturing, but really, you hear that. And I really loathe it. As soon as I hear those words, it is clear or clearly, I go into it's not going to be clear mode. And I know it's not fair, but it's real. I hear that, go right there. Because people have been disagreeing about all kinds of things for all time. It's not just brothers and sisters. It's not just church folk. But people of faith have been disagreeing about important things for far longer than any of us have been around at all. And Christians have been disagreeing about things since day one of Christianity, if you could boil it down to day one, but since the beginning. So listen to this verse from today's reading again. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Not just for the ones with the most knowledge. Not just for the ones with the loudest voices. For all. And when disagreements are present, dialogue, discussion, understanding, and respect must be present. It can never be, you have to agree with this point of view because this one is the only one that is true. It has to be, let's explore this together. Let's work together and find ways to better understanding. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. What if we lived in a way that what must be clearly true wasn't something we felt like we had to defend, and instead we recognized that the spirit of love, the spirit of the law, is better than trying to enforce the literal. Here, I'm going to come back to it again. Love God, love everyone and more. Be open to change. Be involved in opportunities to build community and be open to change about what even that means. And then be open to change about what that was as things become clearer or less clear, but you're open to new possibilities. And then be open to change what that thought was again and again as more people with different experiences become part of the community. And then we do it all with the standard of love. That standard. We have to measure all our actions by that standard. We don't have to be enforcers of the standard. We just live it and seek better understanding. We live it with people who believe just as we do. We live it with people who believe differently. We live it with people who say that they have no belief at all. I don't let labels get in the way. We live, love, and we recognize the inherent value of every single person. He's not a noted theologian. He was a prolific writer. Much of his writing came in the way of reviewing movies. Not all of it, though. But in his book, Life Itself, a Memoir, the writer Roger Ebert wrote this. Those who say that believer and atheist are concrete categories do violence to the mystery we must be humble enough to confess. Those who say that believer and atheist are concrete categories do violence to the mystery we must be humble enough to confess. Life, faith, understanding, mystery. Let's not only confess the mystery, let's embrace it and explore it. Let us in love live that mystery. Now let me close with some more profound words. These are from an actual theologian. Oh, Roger Ebert. Maybe he was a theologian. But this is from Richard Rohr in his 2009 book, The Naked Now. It's a book that seeks to help folks let go of division. It seeks to help people live in the presence, in the mystery. Here's what he says. At a certain point, God becomes more a verb than a noun, more a process than a conclusion, more an experience than a dogma, more a personal relationship than an idea. There is someone dancing with you, and you're not afraid of making mistakes. A verb. A process, an experience, a relationship. And there is someone dancing with you. And you're not afraid of making mistakes. Don't be afraid to embrace the mystery. Be love and be different. Amen.